Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
And pledge online. Our address is WPLN.org. 72 degrees under cloudy skies. Good chance for showers and thundershowers today. Wait, don't tell me is coming up next on WPLN. Just time to remind you that it is membership week, the fall membership campaign. And right now, Vanderbilt Medical Center is stepping up and adding $25 to pledges of $50 or more. And they'll add $50 to a pledge of $100 or more. Vanderbilt Medical Center supporting Nashville Public Radio during this membership campaign. When you call 760-2010 and make that pledge, it'll go that much further to support the programming you value on Nashville Public Radio. We've also got three drawings coming up this week for our listeners, including a $1,000 Target gift card, a shopping spree to the mall at Green Hills, and on Friday, at the end of our campaign, a drawing for an 8-day cruise for two up the Pacific Coast, made possible by Wright Travel. We're going to NPR News and Wait, Don't Tell Me, coming up in just a couple of minutes here on Nashville Public Radio.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The Federal Reserve has many critics in the U.S., but as Steve Beckner of Market News International reports from Tokyo, Chairman Ben Bernanke is also having to defend the Fed abroad.
By holding short-term interest rates near zero for almost 4 years and pushing long-term rates down through massive bond buying, the Fed has flooded the world with money seeking higher rates of return. This has raised hackles in countries like Brazil, which try to hold down their currency's value to boost exports. To keep Fed-generated capital inflows from driving up their currencies, those developing countries buy dollars, which expands their money supplies and raises prices. But Bernanke, speaking at a Bank of Japan International Monetary Fund event, contends Fed policies are helping all countries, not just the U.S. economy, and says complaining nations would be better off if they had more flexible exchange rates. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner in Tokyo.
The international human rights group Human Rights Watch says it has evidence that government troops fighting the rebels in Syria are dropping cluster bombs over civilian areas. Most countries ban cluster bombs because they spread remnants over large areas, and some don't explode until well after they're dropped. Also today, Turkey announced it's banning Syrian planes from its airspace. Syria had issued a similar ban on Turkish flights in its territory yesterday. Preparations are being made for the Pakistani schoolgirl Malala Yousafzai to be treated overseas. 15-year-old Malala was shot in the head last week by the Taliban. NPR's Philip Reeves reports she may be flown to the United Arab Emirates.
Pakistani officials say no final decision's been made, but the royal family of the United Arab Emirates is planning to send an air ambulance for Malala. Pakistan's ambassador to the UAE told a Pakistani TV channel that visas are being finalised for the crew and six doctors who'd fly with her. In an attack that's caused worldwide outrage, Malala was shot in the head on her way home from school Tuesday. The Taliban says they decided to kill her after she ignored their warnings to stop promoting what they call Western values. Several years ago, Malala wrote an anonymous blog criticising the Taliban for stopping girls going to school, and then she rose to prominence by publicly opposing the militants. She's in a military hospital where doctors say she's making slow and steady progress. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.
The U.S. military is investigating the collision of a Navy submarine and an Aegis cruiser off the East Coast yesterday. The Pentagon says both vessels are operating under their own power, but Navy Lieutenant Commander Charlie Dray says the extent of the damage is not yet known.
No personnel aboard either vessel were injured, and then the overall damage to both ships is being evaluated.
Navy officials have not offered specifics on what happened or where the incident took place. This is NPR News from Washington. Both President Obama and Mitt Romney are focusing this weekend on preparing for their next debate Tuesday night. On the Republican side, Romney is practicing with Senator Rob Portman playing the part of the president. Portman was a guest this morning on ABC's This Week. He says he expects Romney will press the president on economic issues.
We all are happy to see some improvement in the economy, but the fact is the economy is weaker this year than it was last year. It was weaker last year than it was the year before. We're not heading in the right direction.
On another talk show this morning, Obama campaign advisor Robert Gibbs told CNN the president knew as soon as he walked off the stage that he didn't do well in the first debate, and he will do better this time. The Yankees fell 6-4 in extra innings to the Detroit Tigers last night, but the game wasn't all that was lost. NPR's Mike Pesca reports Yankee captain Derek Jeter broke his ankle.
That the Yankees were even in extra innings was a shock, the good kind for Yankees fans, as Raul Ibanez's home run in the bottom of the ninth pulled New York even with Detroit. But in the 12th, after the Tigers had once more taken the lead, shortstop Derek Jeter ranged to his left trying to get to a ground ball in the hole. He stumbled, fell, and could not get up. X-rays showed he had fractured his ankle, an injury that should take about 3 months to recover from. Jeter, the Yankees' all-time leader in hits, will be replaced at shortstop by Jason Nix, whose batting average was 73 points below Jeter this year. The Yankees' Hiroki Kuroda takes the mound against Tiger starter Anibal Sanchez in Game 2 this afternoon. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.
The National League Championship Series gets underway tonight in San Francisco. The Giants will host the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air, with happy birthday wishes for Nashville Public Radio. As WPLN celebrates 50 years of community service and community support, we hope you will remember to support the station during the fall membership campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. It's easy to do that. Make a phone call and make a pledge. It's 760-2010, toll-free 866-760-2010. Pledge online, WPLN.org. Our goal for this fall membership campaign, $500,000. For Nashville Public Radio, we're at $172,000 right now, and we have until 6 p.m. Friday to make that mark of $500,000 to pay for the programming to keep this service on the air. Listener-supported, community-supported public radio for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. Right now, Vanderbilt Medical Center is adding some support. They're adding $25 to your pledge of $50 or more during this 50th anniversary year. And if you can pledge $100 this time around, they'll add $50 to that contribution. We have thank you gifts available to everyone pledging, including a 50th anniversary mug and a bag and a hatch poster and several more items. You can see them all at the website, WPLN.org, or ask about them when you call 760-2010. Also, everyone pledging today will be entered in three separate drawings coming up during the fall membership campaign, one coming up tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock for a $1,000 Target gift card. Then there'll be a drawing on Wednesday evening at 6 for a $1,500 shopping spree from the mall at Green Hills. And then finally at 6 p.m. on Friday, the end of this fall membership campaign, we'll be drawing for a, looks like a terrific 8-day cruise for two up the Pacific Coast, airfare to Los Angeles and back from Vancouver included. You can see all the information about the giveaways, the thank you gifts, and all the rest at the website, WPLN.org, or again, pledge by phone at 760-2010. And if you pledge right now, Vanderbilt Medical Center will add $25 to your pledge of $50 or more, and they'll add $50 to your pledge of $100 or more. Let's go to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on member-supported Nashville Public Radio.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kessel, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Listen, I know you're excited, and you're excited because it's pledge time, the most happy time of the year. And that means we're going to remind you of what we do here so that you will think about paying for it. It's a little like your waiter standing in front of you at the end of the dinner and saying, so, enjoy your meal. If you did, consider making a donation. Except in restaurants, if you don't pay, they'll have you arrested. This is public radio. We can't force you to do anything. We have to persuade you. Now, one of the things we offer is hard-hitting election coverage. Not so much what the presidential candidates are talking about, but what they should be talking about. Here's a sample of what our elected officials are ignoring. Charlie, following the success of room and house sharing sites like Couchsurfer and Home Exchange, a new smartphone app called Clue enables you to rent your what to people in need?
Your library to Colonel Mustard so he can kill somebody.
No. Although I see why you said that. In this case, Clue is spelled C-L-O-O.
Oh, so you can rent your water closet?
Yes, your bathroom.
Your gents, your facilities?
Exactly. We've all been there. You're out in the big city, and you're in need of a clean bathroom. Well, all you need do now is pull out your smartphone, start up your Clue app, search for nearby private homes who have signed into the service, contact the owners till you find somebody that is home and can let you in, wait while they do a background check on you, and then realize this has taken way too long and start shopping for a new pair of pants. This is being sold as a kind of social networking app. You know, so you know, use bathrooms, meet people, it'll be fun, you know. You have a common interest. You need a bathroom, they have a bathroom. You have so much to talk about. But it raises the question, who would you rather meet less? Somebody not smart enough to find a Starbucks or a gas station, or somebody willing to rent their bathroom out to strangers? Ooh, gotta put some fresh potpourri over the toilet. Don't know who's gonna show up today.
It really does invite, yeah. Because there's gotta be a lot of different categories, even in terms of the need for the bathroom.
There are people who are just casual and people are looking for a serious relationship with your toilet. Is that what you're saying?
What I would
really
be willing,
want a commitment.
I think there's got to be some sort of time limit here too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're praying go out for dinner, and some 70-year-old guy from Iowa has been in there for an hour and a half.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to complicate things tremendously.
Yeah, he didn't say that on the application.
No.
Yeah, I would be willing to leave a soda bottle on the porch.
All right. We'll let America know that.
Yeah.
Do you want
my address?
No. And Paula, passengers on some Virgin Atlantic flights are being warned of an unexpected risk during flight. The airline will now tell passengers in advance if there's a chance that what might happen.
The internet might cut out.
No. I'll give you a hint. They'll say, well, the exits are over there, the life jackets are under your seat, and the Kleenex is in your seat back.
They might play a really sad song.
Close enough. They're going to be warning passengers that the in-flight movie might make them cry.
I love that.
You do?
Here's what happened. Yes.
41% of male Virgin Atlantic travelers admitted that one time or another they had hid under blankets to cover their tears during particularly moving in-flight films. So the airline announced they're going to hold up signs warning passengers if the movie is a potential tearjerker.
Oh, yes.
Where did they get blankets?
Peter, NASA may be done with shuttle missions, but that doesn't mean they're done innovating. This week they've introduced a new piece of technology to the International Space Station at long last. What is it?
A toilet.
No. They've had that. Although, man, if they just got one of those now, it would have been an uncomfortable last few years
exactly.
For them, wouldn't it?
Is anybody going back to Earth? I really have to go to the bathroom.
Can we pull over?
It's a new piece of technology. What kind is it?
It's a piece of technology that's very common here on Earth, but they just managed to figure out a way to get one onto the space station.
Radio.
No, the only problem is they're going to have to find a pocket in their spacesuits for quarters.
A washing machine?
Yeah, a laundry machine.
Finally
have a laundry machine on the space station. It's great. Life in the International Space Station just got a lot more civilized and better smelling. Thanks to a high-tech washer-dryer, astronauts will no longer be forced to wear the same pair of underwear for 3 days and then jettison them into low Earth orbit. That's what they've been doing.
That's why I can't get cell phone reception, is because there's a bunch of underwear blocking
yes.
the satellite.
Well, no, actually.
Yes, they're Russian underpants.
You think about this, you're like, what? Is it like orbiting the Earth? Is it making the Earth look like a frat house with all the dirty underwear hanging around it? No. What happens is they jettison it in a downward trajectory so that it burns up on reentry.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, that's what...
Because I'd hate to wake up and have a whole bunch of Russian underwear in my backyard somewhere.
I don't know.
In a big crater.
It burns up in reentry so that, like, that shooting star you wished on last night... you just wished to reunite with your sweetheart on some astronaut's flaming underpants.
Adam, PepsiCo has dismissed a complaint from a man he says he found a dead mouse in his can of Mountain Dew. They say, no, this suit has no merit. There's no way that could happen. Why?
Because, they argued,
any mouse trapped in a can of Mountain Dew would have decayed and dissolved long before that.
Exactly right.
And if the can were bigger, by God, they could do it to a horse.
Exactly. Ronald Ball of Illinois, he's suing PepsiCo. He says he opened up his can of Mountain Dew, expecting a refreshing drink, found a dead mouse. But Pepsi's lawyers fought back with this argument. They say Mountain Dew, which, by the way, is something you buy and put inside your body, would dissolve the mouse long before you could drink it. They're not saying it didn't happen. They're saying it couldn't happen because their product is so toxic that no living thing can possibly survive being immersed in its corrosive juices. And it tastes great.
They did say that there might be some sort of mouse jelly.
Well, what happened was is reporters checked it out, and it's true. Mountain Dew, because it has so much citric acid, is quite corrosive to tissue, even more so than Coke. So instead of Grab-A-Dew, the soft drink slogan is now Grab-A-Dew with a pair of tongs and keep it away from your eyes and soft tissues.
Yeah. But, you know, I bet the mice know this.
Yeah.
And you know to stay away.
This? You know who loves this? Mice gangsters.
Yes. Yes.
Great just, way for them right. to dispose of bodies.
They just lead you right to the can and to threaten you.
Yeah, okay, Squeaky, you let us down too many times.
Exactly.
Squeaky! No, give me a break, give me a break. I can pay the money. I can pay them
a splash. I can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, no. Not the dew.
Yeah.
And then they're like, Squeaky, don't worry about Squeaky. You're not going to see Squeaky around here no more.
He's, shall we say, in the dew.
To threaten each other, they send a pull tab wrapped in newspaper.
Exactly.
I offered him a drink he could not refuse.
Now, the candidates have not covered any of these important issues, but we decided we needed to hear their position on a very important issue, funding public radio. Governor Mitt Romney, thank you so much for agreeing to speak to us. Did you enjoy your visit to the Wait offices?
Never before had I seen people working with such concentration, speed, and efficiency.
That's good to hear. It's very flattering. Thank you, sir. Now, what do you think, Governor, of the fact that many people listen to public radio without pledging?
Given the dire consequences for the nation and the heart-wrenching implications for children, why has no alarm been sounded and no emergency measures enacted to staunch this grave crisis?
Well, I couldn't agree more, Governor. And that's why we are conducting this pledge drive.
I can think of no social program that is more valuable.
Wow, Governor, I'm so encouraged by your support. Would you mind taking a moment to tell our listeners why you, Mitt Romney, love NPR?
National Public Radio is relatively inexpensive. It can help us promote freedom, and it may spare us from the tragedy and cost of armed conflict.
Governor, thank you so much. If you agree with Mitt Romney and believe NPR can help us promote freedom around the globe, here is the number to call.
760-2010. 760-2010 is our number locally. Toll free to Nashville. Make your pledge by calling 866-760-2010. Pledge online. Our address is WPLN.org. This is the fall membership campaign at your public radio station, Nashville Public Radio. One of 2 weeks in the year that we come to you and remind you that listeners pay the bills around here. And we need to hear from some of you this week. In fact, a number of you this week. By phone, 760-2010, on the web, WPLN.org. Vanderbilt Medical Center is stepping up this hour and adding to your contribution to WPLN. If you can pledge $50, Vanderbilt Medical Center is going to add $25 to that pledge, a $25 add-on for a contribution of $50. And if you could pledge $100 this morning, Vanderbilt Medical Center will add $50 to that pledge. So that pledge is going to go that much further to support the programming you value, programs like Wait, Don't Tell Me on Nashville Public Radio. We do have thank you gifts available to everyone pledging. It's our 50th anniversary year, our actual on-air date, December 17th of 1962. We'll be celebrating with a station open house coming up in December. We'd love to hear from you this morning, and you could have an item to commemorate our 50th anniversary. We've got a 50th anniversary mug. There's a bag. There's a poster. A lot of other thank you gifts available. Also, when you contribute today, you'll be a part of three drawings coming up this week. The first of which is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock for a $1,000 Target gift card to be given away tomorrow evening at 7. Then on Wednesday evening, a $1,500 shopping spree from the mall at Green Hills. And we'll wrap things up Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, the end of this fall membership campaign, with a drawing for a wonderful Pacific cruise for two. It's a wine country cruise starting in Los Angeles, ending in Vancouver. This trip will include airfare and lots of goodies as well. If you make a contribution today, you'll be a part of all three of these drawings. You can also enter the drawings without pledging. The number to call is 760-2010. Take advantage of this add-on. $25 added to your pledge of $50 from Vanderbilt Medical Center. And if you could step up and pledge $100, they will add $50 to your contribution. Wait, wait, don't tell me. From National Public Radio, we are a charter member of NPR, a dues-paying member as well. And dues to NPR this year will be around $500,000, and we're trying to raise some of that money here this week. If you can help us, every member counts, every contribution helps. Pledge what you can by phone 760-2010 and online. It's WPLN.org. Thanks very much.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So this week, we're trying to justify our existence so you'll support this radio station. And one of the things that we do well is pure, full-on, uncut nerdery. Consider one of my personal favorite celebrity interviews from the fall of 2008. Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, and Paula Poundstone were there when we interviewed Mr. Spock himself, Leonard Nimoy.
Can I ask a non-dweeb question?
We'll be the judge of that.
Good.
The ears. It was about
just
the ears,
dead.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So those were like foam, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
They
do you,
were.
So do you have like a pair on like your mantle as like
I do.
A keepsake?
Do you really?
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
You kept a pair of the Spock ears?
Just
I do.
I have
one pair, yeah.
Wow.
I have the pair that was the that I wore on the very last day of filming of the original series.
Right. You took them home.
The real
That's
series.
That's great. The
yeah.
real series.
I'm very touched that you asked me that question. I am.
I can't yeah. believe this. You're not no, even a fan, and he likes you best. I'm so mad.
That's very nice. Thank you.
She doesn't even have the jammies.
I knew we shouldn't let any girls in here. I wanted to ask you about the movies.
You'll pardon me, but you are now the butt of the joke here.
Yeah, I know. So, I did want to ask you about the next Star Trek movie. You've been in a bunch of movies. You directed one or two of them? Two of them?
Two of them,
two
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
And the next one is directed, of course, by J.J. Abrams, progenitor of Lost and other TV shows. And this is going to be the one that shows the characters of the original Star Trek series, Spock, McCoy, Kirk, of course, as young men and women coming out of the Academy. So there will be, for the first time ever, another actor playing Spock.
At least one.
At least one other.
Yeah.
But you're in the movie, too.
Yes, I am.
How, sir, is that possible?
Through the magic of film.
I see.
It's actually, I tell you, seriously, I really believe this is going to be a brilliant film. J.J. Abrams, who directed it, is a very, very talented guy. I think it's going to be a great film. It'll be out next June.
Right.
And it's called Star Trek.
Just Star Trek. Just.
I don't know if it has a subtitle, but right now it's just called Star Trek.
It could be like, for example, Star Trek, Those Guys Again.
Yeah, yeah, could be, yeah.
Star Trek, Kirk When He Was Hot.
That's right.
For example.
Or When He Was Thin. Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
Whoa! Hello.
Yeah. All right. I heard you guys had a little bit of a rivalry. At the
no,
time. You
no,
and Bill Shatner. No,
no, no, no. We're very good friends.
You've done so much in your career. You've done photography. You've done poetry, music, acting. You've mind melded with the silicon rock creature in the episode "Devil in the Dark."
Good Lord.
One of our better episodes.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Do you remember the moment? No, no.
No, come on, baby. Because I do. That's the thing. But my question for you is you're still so busy. Is there anything that you haven't done yet that you want to do or you want to do next?
No, no. I have no unfulfilled fantasy, no unfulfilled dreams. I left Boston when I was a kid. I was 18 years old. My dream was to make a living as an actor. And I've had great opportunities. And Star Trek particularly, there isn't a day goes by that people don't say to me, that show influenced my life. It affected my life in a positive way. So it's, you know, more than my dream has come true. I'm a very happy guy.
Ladies and gentlemen. Let me just qualify that statement. You're a happy guy up to this very point.
All right.
Because now...
No, no, no. That's true. That's true.
We have invited you here to play a game that we're calling...
You're not that Spock either.
Oh. Wow. Oh. So how weird was it that during the 1960s, two men named Spock would become world famous?
Yeah.
You were the cool, greenish, logical Spock. We thought we'd ask you about the area of expertise of the other Spock, Benjamin Spock. We're going to ask you three questions about the history of child rearing, taken from the book Raising America by Anne Hulbert. And if you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is Leonard Nimoy playing for?
He's playing for James Gallagher of Plymouth, Michigan.
Oh, boy. Here, sir, is your first question. Dr. Luther Emmett Holt was the author of an 1894 child care book called The Care and Feeding of Children. He was optimistic in his book about very young children. He thought they could be trained to do what? A, speak a foreign language if you placed books in that language in their crib for them to play with. B, use a toilet correctly by the age of 3 months, but only if you, quote, start early. Or C, hunt, kill, and eat their own food if given freedom to pursue their natural instincts and a stick.
I would go for number two.
Very logical, sir. Yes, you were correct.
Yeah.
The good doctor said that toilet training is, quote, easily done by the third month if training is begun early.
How early?
I don't know.
Prenatally.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Prenatally, yeah.
That's very good. Here's your next question. The next great American child care expert was one Dr. John Broadus Watson. He was the author of Psychological Care of Infant and Child, published in the 20s. He lectured Americans for what he thought was a terrible habit. What? A, kissing, hugging, or otherwise being physically affectionate toward their children. B, feeding their children cow milk, which he was afraid would give them the physical attributes of cows. Or C, speaking to infants in baby talk, which he felt inhibited mental acuity and, quote, raised a nation of babblers.
Babblers?
Babblers. Babblers.
Babblers.
Babblers.
Oh. Uh-huh. I'd go for that.
You'd go for that. He didn't want them to talk baby talk.
Yeah.
No, it was actually he didn't want them to kiss or hug their children. He said, ooh, parents who kiss and hug their children, quote, are slowly building up a human being totally unable to cope with the world it must later live in, unquote. Instead, he suggested, at most, giving your child a firm handshake. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why your parents and grandparents were so screwed up. Here you go. Last question. Very exciting. This is, of course, about Dr. Spock himself. He became famous for his advocacy of a more permissive parenting style in the 60s. Once in an interview, he made a remarkable confession. What was it? A, when at home after work, he liked to spend hours playing with dolls. B, he couldn't abide rude children at all and always wanted to spank them. Or C, as a child, he himself was allowed to do whatever he wanted and he always hated his parents for that.
Wow. Logic doesn't even work here.
No.
Let's go for number one.
You're going to go for number one. Yeah. At home after work, he liked to spend hours playing with dolls.
Yeah.
It's incorrect. I'm so sorry. He couldn't rude children. He said to the Ladies' Home Journal, quote, I can hardly bear to be around rude children. I have the impulse to spank them and to give a lecture to their parents.
Shame on him.
Isn't it awful?
Yeah.
Carl, how did Leonard Nimoy do in our quiz?
Well, Spock would have gotten all three right, Peter.
You know he would. But,
Leonard Nimoy.
I guess I'm not.
We figured it out. We've settled the question.
But Leonard Nimoy got just one correct answer, and he needed two to win for James Gallagher.
I'm so sorry. Leonard Nimoy is an actor, director, writer, and photographer. He's best known for playing the character Spock from Star Trek, the original series. Leonard Nimoy, thank you so much
thank you.
For being
thank
here.
You. Thank you.
Now, we've heard Governor Romney talk about what public radio means to him. In the interest of giving equal time to both candidates in this important election, we want to bring in the other candidate, President Obama.
I'm sorry, who'd you say you were?
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you know we're in the midst of a fall pledge drive for public radio.
That's how stuff gets done, not with a big crowd and noise and all that.
Right, right, we agree. So, Mr. President, for our listeners at home, can you reiterate your reasons for supporting NPR?
It could at least help you laugh at the world's ongoing folly and see through all the hypocrisy and bullshit and cheap moralism.
Yeah. It's true. Thank you for that. You know, it's funny. It's been a few years since you were on our show. Since then, you've gone on to become president, and we'd like to think we've grown, too.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Well, we do what we can. Thank you, sir. If you're willing to stand with the president, here's the number to call.
760-2010 is our number, 760-2010. You can call toll-free and make your pledge of support to public radio at 866-760-2010 or pledge online. Our address there is WPLN.org. It is the fall membership campaign at your public radio station, Nashville Public Radio, where 43% of our annual operating revenue comes directly from listener contributions. That's our largest, our most important, our most lasting source of support, our listeners. It's membership week at WPLN, and we need to hear from you right now. Vanderbilt Medical Center has stepped up. They're going to contribute this hour as well. They're going to add to your contribution. If you could pledge $50 to Nashville Public Radio, Vanderbilt Medical Center is going to add $25 to that pledge. If you could pledge $100, they'll add $50 to your contribution. It is our 50th anniversary year at Nashville Public Radio, and we're celebrating this week with our largest goal ever for a membership campaign, and that goal is $500,000, and we know we can get there with the support of you, the listener member at Nashville Public Radio. We've raised over $400,000 a number of times during the fall membership campaign. This year, to mark our 50th anniversary, we're reaching out for this goal of $500,000. And we can do that if we can get listeners to make their first contribution to public radio, if we can get renewing members to step up and in good numbers this time, make an additional contribution this year to public radio and help us reach this important goal of $500,000 by 6 p.m. on Friday. We've just passed 172,000, and we're in day number 3 of the second phase of this fall membership campaign. We began with our e-pledge day a couple of weeks ago, and we're back at it here until 6 p.m. on Friday. We do have thank you gifts available to everyone pledging this morning, and you'll also be a part of 3 drawings coming up this week. The first drawing coming up Monday evening at 7 o'clock for a $1,000 gift card to Target. The second drawing will be Wednesday evening at 7 for a $1,500 shopping spree from the mall at Green Hills. And then coming up at the end of the campaign, the end of our fall membership campaign, 6 p.m. Friday, we'll be drawing for an 8-day cruise for two, a Pacific Coast Wine Country cruise for two. That includes airfare to Los Angeles. You'll be cruising up the Pacific Coast and coming back home via Vancouver. The number to call to contribute and be a part of that drawing, you can also enter without pledging, is 760-2010. And again, toll-free 866-760-2010. You can pledge online at WPLN.org. A $25 add-on right now for a pledge of $50 from Vanderbilt Medical Center, and an add-on of $50 for a pledge of $100. Pledge what you can. Pledge any amount. Please understand that we can't operate this service without your support. Let's go back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Here on public radio, it's pledge time, the time every year when we want you to feel good about us. We want everyone to succeed, especially our panelists. Let me show you what I mean. Peter, like a lot of colleges these days, Drake University in Iowa has to advertise to attract prospective students. For this academic year, they've rebranded themselves. They got a catchy new slogan. What is it? It's very brief, but it's punchy.
Hey, Drake, give me a break.
No.
Dem's the Drakes. I don't know this, so how long would you like me to guess for?
It's short.
I'll give you. It's just an abbreviation. It stands for Drake plus a lot of extra advantages.
Oh.
DR plus.
Not DR.
D plus.
D plus.
D plus.
That's their new slogan.
Plus.
D plus.
Oh, I get a bell for that.
You do. We grade in the same curve as Drake, apparently. So we'll give you this.
Wow.
The quote D plus campaign was supposed to, quote, catch the attention of high school students who are bombarded with college and university materials, unquote, presumably by hinting that this was a college where they could slack off and squeak by the lowest passing grade possible, just like they're doing in high school. After a slew of criticism, Drake pulled the D-plus logo off their website. They replaced it with a new campaign, Drake University's Happening, or Duh. Mo, scientists in Slovenia are trying to create robots that are incapable of injuring humans. To do this, they're building robots that do what?
Robots that are plush, robots that are
that would be nice.
Robots, yeah. That
Well, I mean, they might call this robot Muhammad Wally.
Oh, boxing robots.
Well, they're punching robots.
Punching robots.
These robots, what
yes.
they do
yes.
is
That's
these
right.
robots
that got a bell.
Jeez.
Wow.
Thank you.
Just so you guys know, that's okay. the standard for the bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These robots are programmed to punch humans until they cry. That's how it works. In Slovenia, six men, apparently fresh from a screening of Jackass 3D, agreed to be repeatedly punched in the arm by an industrial robot. The robots punch the humans 18 times at varying degrees of intensity while evaluating the humans' emotional responses. The scientists say the next generation of PunchBot will also steal the humans' lunch money, make fun of their moms, and after a software update, give them wet willies.
I thought that these were robots that wouldn't hurt you.
Well, that's this is the problem, you see? If you think about it, you want to make a robot that knows in its little robot brain how much is too much force to use in a human, so it won't hurt the human. Mm-hmm. The only way to figure that out is find out how much force does hurt a human.
You'd think that scientists, after years of being beaten up, would not try and figure out how to get beaten up. We're also going to invent a female robot that won't date you. Just to figure it all out.
Kiri, you may remember a woman named Oprah Winfrey. She was once on TV.
Yeah.
Well, she's out there trying to make you a better person, and she says that...
She failed.
Yeah, well, not for lack of trying. She says that to save a failing marriage, the couple in question should pretend what?
That they are little fuzzy, cute bunnies.
It's sort of like you're having a fight and then it's like, oh, quiet, dear, Lord Grantham's in the next room.
Oh, you have to pretend you're an aristocrat?
Not quite. You have to pretend that
they're aristocrats in the next room.
Not just an aristocrat, but a British aristocrat. You have to, her advice, Oprah's advice, to all of you out there.
Did I just hear a ding?
You did. That's right, because Oprah's advice to all of you married people is when you're behaving, when you're interacting with each other, pretend there's a British person in the next room. This is her theory. If you imagine a very proper, polite British person, that's how we imagine British people to be, listening in the next room, both of you will behave better. Right?
I don't know any British people that are like these fantasy British people. The ones I know drink mad pints and are soccer hooligans and are nuts.
Yeah. Well, then, of course...
I don't know any cucumber sandwich British people.
Yeah.
I don't know any married people who would let a British person slow them down.
That's also true. Amy, as the U.S. presence in Afghanistan continues, military leaders are doing their best to encourage a good relationship between our soldiers and the locals. To that end, Marine commanders just instituted a ban on Marines doing what?
Banning...
It's a politeness issue, apparently.
Banning
the
U.S.
Afghans,
spitting. No, because they do that.
Yeah, the Afghans find this very offensive, apparently.
Shaking hands?
No, I'll give you a hint. Apparently, there's no phrase in Pashtun that means pull my finger.
No.
Yes.
I can't say that.
We're listening.
Just make a sound.
How can you ban that? How do you ban that?
What the... I will give it to you in respect to your ladylike demureness. But I will say that what has happened is the Marine commanders have asked their troops to refrain from farting out loud. loud part that is important. Military leaders say it offends Afghans. And to give you a sense for how offensive this is for Afghans, that's banned, but actual bombs, okay. It's part of a wider campaign of cultural sensitivity in Afghanistan. Soldiers should note, silent farts are still allowed under the military's controversial don't ask, don't smell policy.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
You know, you think Marine training is tough enough. This might be the one that pushes a few of them over the edge.
Yeah.
Really? Actually, there was... It may be true. This was posted on a military magazine website, and the comments from Marines were like, you have got to be kidding me. Some of them said, this is the only fun we get to have in Afghanistan. Now, what if he didn't listen to us? And what if you didn't listen to Mitt Romney and Barack Obama or any of the people telling you to support public radio? What if nobody listened and nobody supported public radio? Then just maybe, someday, you'd turn on your TV to watch some late-night cable and see this.
Tonight on Cold Case Files, the case of the missing public radio program. The place? Washington, D.C. The corner of a quiet street in the Northwest District. The darkest hour of the darkest night of the darkest week of the darkest year. But inside the NPR building, horror was about to erupt.
I don't know what happened. I showed up for work like normal, 3:45 in the morning, and the door was locked. There was nobody there.
Reporter Steve Inskeep pulled fruitlessly on the handle. One, two, three times. It did no good.
And then I saw the sign. It said, site of a new Frogo frozen yogurt superstore.
NPR was never seen again. The mystery was never solved. As for Mr. Inskeep, he now sells frozen yogurt.
I like the lemon flavor. It's Rene Montangy.
This is Bill Curtis for Cold Case Files.
Don't let this nightmarish scenario come true. Here's the number to call.
You can avert this horror. Call us number 760-2010. 760-2010 is our number. Toll-free long distance to Nashville is 866-760-2010. You can make your contribution this week online at WPLN.org. That's our address, WPLN.org. You'll see all the thank you gifts pictured there, along with the details of our drawings coming up this week. We'll be drawing for a Target gift card come Monday night, a Green Hills Mall shopping spree Wednesday evening, and then on Friday evening, an 8-day cruise for two, courtesy of Wright Travel. It's a Pacific Coast cruise. You'll start in Los Angeles. You'll wind up in Vancouver. Airfare is included, and thanks to Wright Travel for making this giveaway possible, coming up at the end of our fall membership campaign, 6 p.m. on Friday. Thanks, too, to Vanderbilt Medical Center. They're adding $25 to your pledge of $50 or more right now. We have a few more of these that we can do. If you can pledge $100, they will add $50 to that contribution. So a $25 add-on at the $50 level and a $50 add-on at the $100 level. And if you'll pledge today, you'll be a part of all three drawings coming up this week during the fall membership campaign. You can also enter the drawings without pledging. The money that you pledge will come back to you as public radio, as information, as ideas, as an exchange of ideas, as entertainment for NPR News listeners, which is what we're enjoying right now. Wait, wait, don't tell me. Part of our NPR program package, we are a contributing member of National Public Radio, in fact, a founding member of NPR back in 1970. All Things Considered went on the air in 1971. And we've been bringing this programming to you for all of those years. WPLN celebrating a 50th anniversary this year, and NPR just celebrated a 40th anniversary this past year. We'd love to hear from you this year, in this 50th anniversary year, with a contribution. Our dollar goal for the fall membership campaign is $500,000, and we stand right now just under $173,000 pledged. That's 484 new members, 1,773 renewing members. If you have just a minute or two to make your contribution today, please do so and take advantage of this add-on right now from Vanderbilt Medical Center and get your name in the drawings coming up this week. The Target card, the Green Hills Mall, and the Pacific Cruise. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. as the fall membership campaign rolls on here at Nashville Public Radio. This is one of just 2 weeks out of the year. In fact, it's one of just two Sunday mornings that we come to you with this message that community support, listener support, keeps us going, keeps us on the air, allows us to bring this service to you. You are a part and parcel of this station as a member, as a contributing listener to Nashville Public Radio. We need to hear from you this morning. 760-2010, 760-2010 is our number. You can call toll-free 866-760-2010, and it's very convenient to pledge online at WPLN.org. Let's go back for more. Wait, wait, don't tell me.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much, Carl. What's better than listening to excellent public radio? How about tacos? Well, actually, that's the correct answer. They're like cornmeal tote bags for your beef. Just ask Rick Bayless, the best Mexican chef ever to be born in Oklahoma. He joined us on stage along with Brian Babylon, Tom Baudet, and Amy Dickinson in March of 2012, and I challenged him on one of his few failures. Your great innovation 25 years ago and going strong was to show to Chicago and America, eventually the world, that Mexican cuisine can be very, very good. But surprisingly, despite your best efforts, you have not yet killed Taco Bell.
No, I think they're going stronger
than
ever.
Well, and this is why, because they have a level of innovation that I'm not sure that you, sir, can match. So we've actually looked at the latest Taco Bell menu, and we want to see.
No.
I just want to throw these things at you, see if you have a response. For example,
yes,
this is why they're winning. Okay. All right, I want to see if you can do better than this. For example, you go into Taco Bell, Doritos Locos Tacos. That is a Taco Supreme, ground beef, all the fixings, but the shell is made from nacho cheese Dorito substance. Beat that!
This is like
another
language. I've never even heard of these things. What is that?
Wait a minute, isn't Doritos traditional Spanish?
Sí, son Doritos.
Sí, son Doritos.
How about this? How about the Crunchwrap Supreme? That's beef, nacho cheese, wrapped up and grilled, quote, for maximum portability. All right, Rick Bayless.
You know,
that's like everything I cook. Maximum portability.
That's exactly my problem. I haven't focused enough on portability.
Exactly.
I mean, because you need something while you eat and tweet at the same time.
Eat and tweet.
It's got to have a handle on it, you see.
And our circus performers, they could take that flying.
I know. It is true. Your food's good, but it's hard. It's hard to eat while on the subway. So work on that.
Oh.
How about the Burrito Fiesta Taco Invasion? That's 8 beef tacos smothered in nacho cheese, then wrapped up in a 3-foot diameter tortilla to create a burrito and delivered by a souvenir catapult you can take home. All right, we made that up.
But I wasn't sure.
But I think you should do it.
Only the last part of it.
I think you should do it.
I'm doing something with a catapult on my next menu.
Because you are so well-known and successful in your field, we're assuming this is like anything else, that you got these young guys coming up to you and like trying to win you over. So how do you deal? What do you do when the food's terrible?
I always have a good time. Okay,
really?
So that's what I can always say. I've just had the best time here this
year.
Really?
That's like one of the best
things you can do.
So if you say that when you leave here today, we'll know.
Yes, it was so nice to be here.
Really?
It's like when your friend gives you his manuscript to read.
So imagine, I'm going to test. So I've just cooked something for you, and this, if God knows if I ever be so foolish as to try to cook something for you, this would happen. And I'd say it would be awful. And I'd say, so, did you enjoy your lunch? And you would say,
oh, Peter, thank you so much. This was such a great time. Did you notice how easily that came out?
That was really good.
I'm really practicing that.
I know.
Golden Globe.
Have you ever been in a situation where something is so awful you actually have trouble eating it? You're like, how can I slip this into my napkin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I try to go to the restroom and then sneak out the front door. Oh, did I not say? I'm sorry, I didn't say thank you.
Really? You dine in ditch? Oh my God, there's like one of America's leading chefs is climbing out the bathroom window. He left money we don't understand.
Throw money on the table and get out.
Well, Rick Bayless, it is always a pleasure to see you here. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees in a voice that sounds a lot like Danny DeVito.
Kids today know the Lorax as an amusing corporate spokesman, but it wasn't always like that. The original version of the Lorax was quite different. His creator, Dr. Seuss, was born 108 years ago this week. And in tribute to him, we're going to ask you three questions about him. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Rick Bayless playing for?
Rick is playing for Anne Orchier of New York, New York.
First question, Dr. Seuss wasn't actually a doctor. He was born Theodore Geisel and adopted his pen name Y. A, Dr. Seuss was the name of his childhood dentist, famous for telling fantabulous stories while drilling cavities. B, he was barred from writing for his college paper for underage drinking and needed a pseudonym. Or C, he was always getting teased because Geisel is Dutch for toilet plunger.
Oh, man, I don't know anything at all about Dr. Seuss.
Really?
So, let's see. The one that's most romantic is the first one, the dentist.
I think the phrase, the one that was most romantic was the dentist, has never before been said. So you're going to go with the dentist, the idea that it was Dr. Seuss was his childhood dentist who regaled him with stories while drilling his cavities.
I have a feeling I'm going down the wrong path here. But
who am I to tell you?
Yeah, that is my answer.
It was actually the underage drinking, actually. Oh. It was. Yeah, he was in Dartmouth. He was busted for drinking. They wouldn't let him write for the college paper. He picked a pseudonym, his middle name, and he was a doctor, Dr. Seuss. All right. Now, he's known mostly for his kids' books, of course, but he also wrote and illustrated some books for adults, including which of these? A, the $5,000 owed by Bartholomew Cubbins to his bookie. B, the Seven Lady Godivas featuring lots of naked ladies. Or C, there's a schnoozle in my caboozle.
Wow. Well, schnoozle in my caboozle sounds too much like the rest of his work, I think I'm going to throw that one out. I think the second one.
Seven Lady Godivas?
I think set up.
You're right, the Seven Lady Godivas. In fact, he did this book. The book flopped because naked ladies, as drawn by Dr. Seuss, just aren't very sexy, if you can imagine. He had a lot of skills. Erotica? No. Last question. Dr. Seuss tried to make his kids' books a little more edgy as well. For example, his classic early reader, Hop on Pop, originally included what word? A, contraceptive. B, concubine. Or C, Nixon.
Oh, wow. That's hard. Well, doesn't sort of concubine sort of has that Seuss feel to it?
I could kind of imagine
another
that
sentence
character.
That's never been said. I've told you how much I enjoy your food, I think, over the years. Yeah. I mentioned that to you. So I feel like I owe you.
Okay, so it's not concubine. I'm going to say Nixon. No, I'm going to say contraceptive.
Yes! Very good. It's contraceptive.
Well played.
The verse originally went, when I read, I am smart, I always cut whole words apart. Constantinople, Timbuktu, contraceptive, kangaroo. Seuss said he just wanted to make sure his editor, Bennett Cerf, was paying attention. And he was. Carl, how did Rick Bayless do in our quiz?
Rick had two correct answers there, Peter, so he wins for Anne Orchier.
So... Rick, how did you enjoy yourself?
I had the best time.
Well done. Rick Bayless, thank you so much for being with us again. Rick Bayless, ladies and gentlemen. All right, here's the thing. Everything you've heard this hour, we made up. We didn't interview President Obama or Mitt Romney, and Steve Inskeep isn't really selling frozen yogurt. although we think he'd really be good at it. What is true is that this station needs your support, because the money you pledge goes directly to providing you with the programming you listen to every day, including ours. All that great radio pouring out of your stereo or dashboard or shower radio 24/7, there when you need it, and it is there when you need it because you are always there when we need you, just like now. Here is the number to call.
Thank you, Peter. 760-2010 is our number, 760-2010. Toll free to Nashville, 866-760-2010. Perhaps you're up in Cookeville this morning, out in southern Kentucky, down in southern Middle Tennessee, or out to the west towards the Tennessee River. Call us toll free, 866-760-2010. Pledge what you can to keep public radio strong in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. You can also pledge online. Our address there is WPLN.org. And right now, Vanderbilt Medical Center is also supporting Nashville Public Radio during this fall membership campaign by adding $25 to your pledge of $50 or more, a $25 add-on for a pledge of $50 or more. Or if you could step up and pledge $100, they will add $50 to that contribution. 760-2010 is our number. Again, toll free, it's 866-760-2010. You can pledge online at WPLN.org. We try to connect you with information, with ideas, with unique entertainment that's important to you. And we're asking, really in turn, that you make a very important connection to public radio this week by making a pledge of support. Nashville Public Radio is an independent, community-licensed, not-for-profit, non-commercial public radio station. And as such, we turn to our community for the support, for the money it takes to operate the station on your behalf. If you can reach out this morning and make a contribution, we would love to hear from you. We need to hear from you. Our fall membership campaign runs through this Friday evening at 6 o'clock. You can contribute now by phone at 760-2010 or pledge online at WPLN.org. We do have thank you gifts, including 50th anniversary thank you gifts, a mug, a bag, a poster, etc. You can see those pictured on the website at WPLN.org or ask about them when you phone 760-2010. Also, as a special thank you this week, we've got three drawings coming up, and that'll be a lot of fun. The first one coming up tomorrow evening, Monday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll be drawing for a $1,000 gift card to Target. And then on Wednesday, we'll be drawing at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening for a $1,500 shopping spree from the mall at Green Hills. And we'll wrap things up on Friday evening at 6 o'clock with a drawing for an 8-day Pacific Coast cruise for two, a Pacific Coast wine country cruise for two, which starts in Los Angeles and ends in Vancouver. This trip includes airfare for two and all the rest. And some lucky listener is going to win that trip come 6 p.m. This Friday evening. You can also enter those drawings without contributing. Perhaps you've already contributed this year. By all means, get in and be a part of the drawings as well. 760-2010 is our number. The website is WPLN.org. And again, we're wrapping up our fundraising for this Sunday morning. We'll have a splendid table for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But again, a reminder that Vanderbilt Medical Center will add $25 to your pledge. They will add $25 to your pledge of $50 or more right now. And if you can contribute $100, they've agreed to add $50 to that contribution. 760-2010 is our phone number locally. Toll free, 866-760-2010. Pledge on the line, pledge online at WPLN.org. It is the fall membership campaign at Nashville Public Radio. Thanks for your support.
Lipscomb Academy is a university-operated college preparatory faith-based school serving pre-K through 12th grade. Lipscomb Academy offers students a 360-degree education that combines academics, spirituality, fine arts, and athletics, and is hosting an admissions open house for prospective families on November 11th from 2 to 4 p.m. This is a come-and-go event with no reservation required. Private tours are also available daily. Details and additional information are online at lipscombacademy.com. A worn blanket and a small stuffed pig. Taggy and Big Pig are the constant companions of Heidi and Michael O'Neill's children. They're also reminders of what it means to see and respond to others' needs as simply and honestly as children do. With the Community Foundation, the O'Neills created the Taggy Big Pig Fund as a way for their family to make decisions about supporting charitable causes. The Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee, connecting generosity with need. Online at cfmt.org.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville, and online, WPLN.org. 60% chance for showers and thundershowers this afternoon. We have cloudy skies, rain in the area, 72 degrees, the temperature at 12 noon.